Shavua Tov, everybody, and Chag Sameach.
Chag Sameach.
Chag Sameach.
It
Happy
is
Purim.
Chag Purim here at Bethel, and we are having a great time. It's been a lovely evening. Super fun Egyptian-themed party after our great spiel. Jill, who's your favorite pharaoh?
I don't think I have a favorite pharaoh.
What? Why not? Everybody's got a favorite. Jeremy, who's your favorite pharaoh?
I love them all equally.
All equally?
Two cop-out answers right there.
All right. Fair enough.
But it's Purim, guys. This is great.
Yeah. Purim is such a wonderful holiday. Big fan.
Yeah. It's definitely a lot more fun than a lot of other holidays. Tonight has been a lot of fun.
It's funny, though, because, you know, Purim, because it's so fun and we, like, you know, put all this effort into making it sort of fun, we, I think, overlook the seriousness of the holiday itself. And some of the text of the Megillah, you know, is pretty serious there. But I think the overall end game is super good for the Jews. Right? Good for the Jews? Bad for the Jews? Good for the Jews.
And
good
for the Jews. Truth be told, I had never really read in English the entire Megillah until I recently took Gen X Megillah through the Soul Center. Shout out Soul Center. And learned
Not
about...
Not sponsored.
And learned...
Sponsorship opportunities available.
Always available.
And learned more about the entire Megillah. And it was very eye-opening.
Yeah, right? And that's like the whole theme of Purim, too, is like removing the veil and seeing what's underneath.
Right. And yeah. I do recommend anyone who is curious. It's a good read.
Anyway, well, anyway... It is good to have you back, Jeremy, from the swamps of Florida. How was it?
We missed you last week.
We did miss you.
It was amazing. The weather was fantastic. The kids had fun. My wife had fun. I even had a little fun also.
Oh, look at that.
Once we made it to Florida, I will tell you this, and I heard you touched on this last week, but typically when we go to Florida, from our front door to my mom's front door, my mom lives in South Florida, 6 hours. And that's everything.
That's too many hours.
That's from getting to the airport, in the airport, the flight, and then getting back to her house. When we attempted to go, I guess this was now 3 weekends ago, 6 hours turned into a 36-hour journey down to my mom's. Two lessons learned. The first, we will never check a bag again through any airline. If it doesn't fit on the carry-on, it's not going. And second, don't travel during spring break.
Yeah.
Even if you didn't realize it was spring break. So we got to the airport on a Saturday, and I always check everything. I check the traffic. I check my flight. You can even check the TSA security lines online to see how long of a wait it is. But what I do, I go one step further. I look at the airplane that's coming to take us. Mm-hmm. And unless you're in like a 6 or 7 a.m. flight, your plane is probably coming from somewhere else. So I will research what plane is coming. And if that plane's an hour and a half late, your flight can show on time, but it's not going to be on time because your plane's going to be like getting there. So anyway, everything was on time. We got to the airport on Saturday. As soon as we went through the TSA checkpoint, flight was showing 20 minutes late, then an hour late, then 90 minutes late, then 2 hours late. And then 4 hours later, they canceled our flight. So, and I've never, as much as I've traveled, never had a flight that was canceled before.
I don't think I have either now that you mention it.
Delays.
I did last year when I was going to Vancouver. We woke up in the middle of the night randomly, and I checked my phone, and we had a text that said our flight was canceled.
Well,
but this was before you even
got
to the airport.
Right, but still, there's no direct flight to Vancouver from Baltimore, so we had to change airlines and change layover places, and it's annoying. And you're so excited to go away, and you're ready, and you're settled, and then everything has to be changed, and it's extra added stress that people don't need.
So 4 hours in the airport with our 4-year-old son and 2-year-old daughter, and our flight gets canceled. Over 200 people are now rushing to this one ticket counter that's at our gate to stand in line and get rebooked. And I'm just looking, why would I stand in that line? I walked 4 terminals down the airport, and there was no line. The lady was about as useless as the pencil that I'm holding in my hand right now and said, we will rebook you and your family automatically. You'll get a text message on your phone in about 10 minutes. I said, I don't have to do anything. She said, no. Well, 3 weeks later, I'm looking at my phone. The text message still isn't there. So I actually left the airport. I walked out of security and I went to the ticket counter, the check-in counter, when you first pull up with your baggage. And they were very helpful. They booked us on a flight to following afternoon, so Sunday afternoon. And my only question once they did that, how do I get our bags? And they said, well, you have to go downstairs to the baggage office. Not very friendly and even less helpful when I arrived. I would have assumed that when your flight is canceled, they take all the bags that have been loaded onto the plane, take them off the plane, tell everyone to go down, pick up their bags. And if your flight's later that day, the next day, 3 days later, you just recheck your bag. Not with the airline. According to them, once you check your bag now belongs to the airline. And the airline will get that bag to your destination. They said your bag will be waiting for you when you get to Florida.
What if you weren't going to Florida? What if you decided to cancel your whole trip?
That was my question to them. And they said, well, out of a courtesy to you, courtesy, we will deliver the bag back to your house. We will ship it back.
So nice of them.
So generous. So anyway, look, we live in Baltimore, 20 minutes from the airport. So it wasn't the end of the world. So we came home. The following day, I went through my routine again. As we're pulling up to the airport, my wife looks at her phone. There wasn't even a 60-minute delay. It just, boom, two-hour delay. And at that point, we're like, we'll give it one more delay, and then we're just not going to Florida. We'll go to Hershey Park, or we'll go somewhere. So 2 hours go by, plane shows up. We get on the plane, ready to go, and it's pretty windy at this point. Oh, so I'm already
having anxiety.
So I already know what's going to happen once we get up in the air. Because, I mean, the winds are gusting probably about 35, 40 miles an hour. And from work that I've done in a previous life, I'm familiar with the airline industry. And when the winds get above 40 miles an hour, 45, you're not going anywhere. You're not taking off. You're not landing. So I'm like, all right, let's just get out of here before the winds get bad. So we get on the flight. Full flight, of course, because everyone's rebooked. And apparently every flight that weekend was either delayed or canceled because of weather. And there were too many flights trying to go to Florida for spring break. Now, how the airlines can schedule too many flights, I don't understand.
Well, that's a sticking point for me, is how airlines overbook their flights and do all these like shady practices and end up, you know, penalizing people. I don't love it.
but apparently the FAA had said there's too much air traffic, so we need to delay everything. And like Jill said, I don't know why they couldn't have done this in the middle of the night. But so
hard.
We're there, we're on the plane, our kids are going nuts because they've now had another bonus 2 hour delay in the airport after the day before. We're ready to go. I look at the front of the plane, the cockpit's wide open. I said, we're not going anywhere. The door's open. You can see the pilot. I can see the front of the – we're not taking off.
Right.
A pilot gets on. Hey, we got a little more of a delay. We've got more bags that we need to load onto the plane. And I'm looking at my wife like, you've had 2 hours to load these bags on the plane with this delay. Why are we waiting till – so, you know, it's another 30 minutes. They load these bags. Finally, it's time to go. They're doing the safety thing, the show they do where they go over everything. Halfway through, they stop. They're on the phone with the pilot. Everyone's looking. Got to go back. We've got 23 more bags that we forgot to load onto the plane. So 2 hours later, off we go. We're sideways before we even get into the air. So bumpy on takeoff.
I can't.
She's hyperventilating right now. My two-year-old daughter, who she's going through a phase, mommy, 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 and it's fine. Doesn't want anything to do with me. So my wife's sitting in a row of three. My son, she's in the middle. My daughter's on the aisle, and then I'm sitting on the aisle. So bumpy going up. She's grabbing for me across the aisle, and she never wants me. Once we get up in the air, it's fine. We land in.
Was it really fine the whole rest of the time? Were there bumps?
Once we got 20 minutes into the flight, it was fine. It was a regular flight to get there. We land in sunny, beautiful. Well, it wasn't sunny because it was probably about 8 o'clock by the time we finally landed. I always take my son up to the cockpit. And the pilot, it was like if the winds kicked up a couple more miles an hour, we weren't going anywhere. Because they were kind of at their max where we could safely take off with the wind and the plane could sustain it. But this was the best part. We finally get back to my mom's, 9 o'clock, kids are ready for bed, we've got our suitcases. I go to open the suitcase to get out something for my daughter. My wife's suitcase is soaked, everything's wet inside. And I said to her, I said, what did you put in your suitcase?
Like you thought something leaked in there.
Right. And she said, I don't have any liquid in there. All of the clothes were drenched. I then opened my suitcase, everything is drenched. Long story short, well, so back up the night before. You know how they said they don't unload the bags, they're responsible for getting bags to Florida? Well, since then, after talking to 20 people from the airline and doing my own research, because you can track your bags, our bags were taken off the plane probably around 9 o'clock Saturday night. At the same
– wait a minute. Saturday night they were – this.
Saturday night they finally unloaded our plane, the plane that got canceled.
Okay.
They unloaded those bags and put them on another plane that got them down to Florida around 2 in the morning.
Okay.
So while they are in the process of either unloading our bags or loading the bags, that rain that we had on Saturday turned into a thunderstorm. And I remember because we were at home watching TV and there's thunder and lightning. And one of the ladies I spoke with at the airline said, I've worked here for 36 years and the only time you will ever have a bag that is literally destroyed by being out in the rain that long is if there's a lightning strike. Because if there's a lightning strike at the airport, this is their policy. Every person working outside at the airport has to run, not walk, run inside. And she said sometimes they might grab a suitcase or two to try to save the suitcase. But if you're the people who are the unlucky suitcase that's coming off the plane, well, that was our family. So everything was drenched. We needed new suitcases. We rewashed all the clothes. It took a day or two, and everything was fine. As of this time, the airline has not reimbursed us for the few things that we needed to buy. We were honest. We didn't exaggerate. But hoping the airline will keep their word, and hopefully now within the next, I think they have 2 more weeks to stay under their promised 30-day window, they will replace everything. Real. So we'll see what happens. If not, maybe next week we'll name some names on the Havdala happy hour.
But we could play the game where we, you know, use other names and everybody will be able to guess which one it is.
It's not hard to figure out what airline flies nonstop from BWI to West Palm Beach.
Turkish anyway. Air.
But two life lessons learned. One, don't ever check a bag. And two, don't travel during spring break.
When I was in Israel last, just recently in end of January, whatever it was, we got there and it was a small group. It was only like 18 of us total. But 6 of us, for whatever reason, our bags didn't show up in the carousel at the end of it. I was like, oh, God. So the guy that like had met us at the airport that like, you know, there's always a guy that, you know, takes you through customs and gets you settled to your bags. And he's like, you have to go and complain to the lost baggage department. I was like, oh, fine. So we got over there waiting in this super long line. And meanwhile, you know, this other carousel, you know, comes up and somehow it comes to be that our bags are coming out in that carousel. And it's like such an Israeli thing. It's like, well, of course it's coming out in that carousel. Why didn't you just like, no, like no, nobody said anything. Nobody like whatever. It was thankfully, I mean, I was a little annoyed, but, you know, thankfully it turned out to be fine. But I also agree with you. The checking a bag is a terrible idea. Buy the stuff when you get there.
It's never happened before, but you gamble every time you check your bag. And this time we got burned. Oh, and here's the kicker. As if that wasn't enough, right? 36 hours of travel, our bags destroyed. But here's the kicker. After we bought new suitcases, right, because we Amazoned them down to Florida. We needed suitcases when we flew back. Brand new suitcases. One of our bags, once we landed back in Baltimore, they broke the handle off of the bag. I didn't even report it that day. I said, I'm done. Oh, we're going home. I'll call later and report it. Oh, and P.S., Jill, you would have loved this. Our flight this past week coming home from Florida, while the flight was on time, there was so much turbulence on the plane. And I knew something happened on the plane because there was a bit commotion behind us. We found out later the turbulence was so violent. There were actually people throwing up on the flight. And we didn't realize it because my wife knew someone on the plane.
They would have been resuscitating me in the back.
I just keep seeing these videos, like the one I was watching where like these panels keep like just coming off of like the engine or the wing or whatever. I was like,
well, a tire
what
the, fell
the state
off
of air
plane.
Travel in America these days is troubling.
But there was not one plane crash. I heard in this on the Today Show the other day, there was not one plane crash in 2023. A commercial airline.
Well, so to answer your question, that was the long version. We had a fantastic time in Florida. I would say thank you for screwing up 3 days of our trip, but the rest of the time it was great.
You know, I think we had something different for the Shonda of the week, but your experience with the airline seems like pretty much a Shonda to me.
You know what, though? Even as annoying as it was with the suitcases, and that was my biggest thing until I spoke to this lady who told me what the backstory probably was, I'm not even upset because it was a safety issue. There was lightning. We were in Baltimore during the storm. No, there was lightning.
Did you see it?
I didn't see my bag sitting out in the rain. Mm-hmm.
I did hear thunder.
I mean, no, I saw the lightning. So
same lightning is the same way that Kate Middleton has come back, allegedly.
Is she back now?
No. Well there was a grainy video that came out the other day showing her and Prince William walking down a street together near like the castle that they live.
A shopping area.
Right. But everybody on the internet is saying it's a lookalike. It's not really her. And I am loving it. I am loving every single minute of it. I long desired this family to be toppled by their people. And I think this is like maybe hopefully the beginning of the end.
So I love this new segment, though. I did listen to the podcast while I was in Florida a couple days after it happened, but I love this new set. So who's it going to be this week?
Conspiracy theory? Yeah.
No. Who are we going to do?
So I think this week's Shonda of the Week probably has to be Chuck Schumer.
Interesting.
If you were in shul on this past, last Shabbat, a rabbi gave a sermon about this, Rabbi Schwartz, actually, and he talked about a speech that Chuck Schumer gave on the floor of the House or Senate.
Which I will interrupt you to say, if you missed the sermon or if you're listening to us and you're not in our Bethel community, just go ahead and click back about three episodes on the Bethel Podcast Network, and you will see we upload every sermon. Right. But go ahead, and I believe it was March 16th, listen to Rabbi Schwartz's sermon.
So Chuck Schumer gave this speech, and it was all about Israel. And, you know, the most of the speech was pretty supportive. I mean, he's maintained a record of being pretty staunchly pro-Israel for most of his career. But then he sort of crossed a line, and he basically called for new elections in Israel, which, you know, it's really a bad thing to call for elections in the ally in a country that is an ally of ours, but also a democratic ally of ours. You know that, you know, love him or hate him, you know, Benjamin Netanyahu is the democratically elected sitting prime minister of the state of Israel, elected by the people of Israel, not by Chuck Schumer or the people of America. Right? Love him or hate him, Netanyahu is the democratically elected prime minister of Israel, and for the most powerful, you know, he's the majority leader, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, for him to call for new elections is outrageous.
But let me ask you this because I do want to ask you this because I was kind of tuned out of the news. Why did he actually call for
elections? He said there should be new elections. Right? Okay. He said that. He said exactly that. And, you know, this is the same man who just a couple years ago gave a speech from the same floor complaining about Russia's interference in our elections. And here he is calling for, you know, new elections against, again, an ally. You know, it's sort of unconscionable to me that, you know, and that he, you know, crossed this sort of line. Again, the majority of the speech was staunchly defensive of Israel, you know, harsh language against Hamas. These are all good things. But, you know, I think that all fell to the wayside when he called for a new election. So for me, that's the Shonda of the week. But if you guys have any other contenders, I'm happy to listen.
For me, it's airline.
Jill, you got one?
I'm going to stick with yours, Ben.
Oh, thanks.
Fair enough. I will share a story about Chuck Schumer. This past December, we actually met him.
Do you want some sanitizer?
I'm good. I'm not going to give out the location, but we were on vacation. He was with his family there. We saw him throughout the day, and it was the most random thing. My son and I got onto the elevator. It was at a resort. My son and I get on the elevator to go upstairs, and I didn't even realize he was on the elevator. What caught my eye, I was like, these guys are cops on the elevator. Like, he had his security with him. So I first saw the three police officers that were on the elevator, and then when I looked up, there he is standing there. So I guess when the door opened, they figured this guy and his kid, they're not a threat. So at first, they were standing there like next elevator. But I'm like, you guys got room for two more? So they let us come on. And he was actually really nice. We have a mutual acquaintance in common, someone that he's very close with. So we talked about that for a minute. And he was great with my son. They high-fived.
Yeah, but that was then. Now this is now. I think it's a different Chuck Schumer.
I'm just sharing a fun story that my son got to meet him. Didn't ask for the picture because probably not appropriate.
That's your lived experience.
Yes. So
my exciting week. I'm very excited. Week Who coming up? What this week coming up is?
I know what it is.
What is it?
Opening day.
It's opening day for the Orioles.
It is. And anyone who knows me knows that it is my favorite day of the year besides my children's birthday. And I am.
What about Rosh Hashanah?
I love opening day.
Rosh Hashanah?
That's my favorite Jewish holiday of the year.
Is Rosh Hashanah your favorite?
I love Rosh Hashanah.
Favorite, though?
I think so.
Ben?
Sukkot.
I love Rosh Hashanah. But anyway, it's opening day, and I will have my Orioles tennis shoes on and my Orioles sweatshirt and my Orioles hat, and I will be at opening day with my dad.
Good seats?
Very good seats. And I cannot wait.
Very good seats.
I'm so excited.
Well, I know that there was maybe some concern since the new ownership, but I think we're...
There was about my seats. Yeah. There was some concern, but we have secured... Thanks, Dad. High seats again for this year, and nothing makes me happier than when the Orioles win.
Were you at that staff meeting the other day where one of our clergy team, we were talking about opening day, and then they said, opening day of what? Were you there for that? And
I'm like, what?
Cantor Blatt and I started to laugh. You know, I'm not super into sports, you know, really. I will watch occasionally, but at least I even know what opening day. It was a funny sort of comment that passed by there. But
what should be a good week coming up?
It was
Purim. It's so much
fun. Fun tonight.
Tomorrow morning, we're waking up early to bring the kids back for the kids' Purim carnival. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then I guess we'll just kind of roll in the next week.
Yeah, sounds good to me. I mean, it's going to be good. Now we can all start getting ready for Pesach because it's right around the corner.
Literally.
Sorry to mention. Shavuot Tov, everybody, and Chag Sameach.